my Bible.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Say, this is my Bible. That's right. Now say, I am what it says I am. Now boldly declare, I can do what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, you did good. You did good. You have to boldly declare what you're going to say. Isn't that right? Faith is released by the words of our mouth. You got it? And so if I'm going to say it, I got to say it on purpose. Isn't that right? Go with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. We're in a brand new series that we started last week entitled, I Know I Can. Everybody say, I know I can. One more time, say, I know I can. And so this is just an incredible passage of scripture, Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verses. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything. Somebody say anything. And equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And we said that we have been designed and engineered by God not only to just handle problems, but to solve problems and to win in life. That we have been engineered by God, that we have his DNA in us, that we are made with the good stuff, is what we said last week. And that we said that ultimately that means that we don't have a problem he can't solve. We don't have a situation he can't fix. We don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He says, I am that I am. I'm whatever you need me to be. So we have been strengthened, the Bible says. He says, we have been strengthened through Christ. He says, I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with this inner strength. So there's this inner strength that's on the inside of me. Now, I want to just, matter of fact, let's go to Romans 1 and 17. Let's go to Romans 1 and 17. I want to share a few things with you. I want to get into some things, but I want to give you three different foundational texts. So Philippians, the 4th chapter, Romans, the 1st chapter, and 1 John, the 5th chapter. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Romans, the 1st chapter, and 1 John, the 5th chapter. Okay, now, Romans 1, we're going to go to Romans 1 and 17. If you have it, say, I have it. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? By my paycheck. Depending on what my boss does. Depending on programs from the government. No, we live by faith. You got it? We trust God in every area of our lives, and we live by faith. Faith is not a spare tire. You don't use faith like a spare tire. You only go and get a spare tire in case of emergencies, but faith is a way of life. Faith is how we live. Faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. We understand salvation is the most important subject, but once you're saved, guess what? You're saved. Like, if you don't ever hear another lesson on salvation, you're going to be all right because you're saved. But the Bible teaches us that the just, those who are declared right, those that are saved, that we live by faith. And that is why it's vitally important that pastor teaches you on faith. That is why it's vitally important that, you know, you hear lessons over and over and over, because learning takes place through repetition. And that is why I'm teaching this faith refresher series, because I want to make sure that you are where you need to be in faith, that no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that no matter what the trial is, no matter what the trouble is, you've got the word of God and the faith of God on the inside of you, that even when the devil comes, you can rise up and tell him, hold on, I'm back and I'm better than ever. Isn't that right? All right. All right. Now go with me to 1 John 5 and 4. 1 John 5 and 4. All right. There it is on the screen. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh. So the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome. It is my faith that is going to cause me to win. It is my faith that is going to cause me to triumph in every area of my life. And that is why it's vitally important that I learn how to develop my faith and watch this, and keep moving forward in my faith. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Put my definition for faith up on the screen, please. I'll give you my definition for faith. A real simple definition for faith is action. acting on what you believe. And as children of God, we believe the word of God. Isn't that right? A longer definition, faith is the supernatural power of God made available to man, whereby man can transform conditions, circumstances, and situations in the natural realm over which he has been given authority over based on the express will of God. So this is not a natural thing, but this is a supernatural thing. You got it? It is the supernatural power of God that is made available to man. So when I begin to walk by faith and not by sight, I'm able to transform conditions, circumstances, and situations in the natural realm. Why? Because I have been given authority over based on the express will of God, and we understand that his will is his word. Isn't that right? Everybody say his will is his word. Now, most of you all know my story. Years ago, I was at a very low point in my life. I loved God. I was living holy and those kind of things. But I wasn't really experiencing the type of life I wanted to experience. I would read scriptures like John 10:10, where it says he comes that I might have life and have it more abundantly. But I was not really experiencing the abundant life. I was not really experiencing what, you know, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. I was not really experiencing those things. And so I was introduced to the word of faith, and I began to learn the word of faith, and it radically changed my life. I began to learn that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles. For every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there's a faith process to bring it to pass. I began to learn that the will of God was not automatic, and that God needed my permission and my participation to usher his will into my life. And I tell you that was for a lot of us, that was something totally brand new, because a lot of times when we grew up, people told us, you know, whatever God was going to do was just what he was going to do. Isn't that right? But how many know that that's not true? God needs our permission, and he needs our participation for him to usher his will into our lives. Now, 2 Peter 3:9, I think I've given that to you on the screen. I just want to show you that the will of God is not automatic. Everybody say, the will of God is not automatic. Okay, anybody ever been prophesied to? Anybody? Okay, guess what? That's not automatic. Let me come down and talk to y'all. I need to talk to y'all. Because I think that we think that the moment somebody says something, boom, you know, and I'm not knocking it, maybe they lay hands on you, boom, you fell out, you got up, and you think, no. The will of God is not automatic. All right? So there's something that I have to do. So whether it's through his written word, you got it, through his logos word, whether it's through a prophetic voice, you got it, just because something is spoken into my life does not mean that it's automatically going to come to pass. There are some things that I need to do. Watch what, I'm going to drive that home. Watch what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. It says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he is long-suffering toward us. He says, not willing, not doing what? Willing. So it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So let me ask you a question. Is it the will of God that everybody go to heaven? Yes, open book test. You got it? So it's the will of God that everybody go to heaven, right? Now, let me ask you another question. Will everybody go? No, right? So you understand that the will of God is not automatic. It is God's will that everybody goes to heaven, but everybody will not go to heaven because everybody will not do, you know, what it takes to receive salvation, which is freely being given unto us. So the will of God is not automatic. The will of God is not automatic. There's something that I need to do. And so I begin to work this process, and I begin to learn the principles of giving. I begin to learn the principles of serving and sowing and sacrificing and all those things. And God brought me to a no-need state. The favor of God came on my life in an incredible way. Doors opened in an incredible way. And God, He just blessed me beyond my wildest dream. And how many know God will bless you beyond your wildest dream? You got it? And it's important you to understand that when I'm telling you my testimonies, I'm not bragging on me. Number one, I'm bragging on God. And number two, I'm getting you to understand that God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. So if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Isn't that right? So that's why when people are blessed and God is doing amazing things in their life, you don't hate on them. You don't talk about them. You don't run them down. Who do they think they are? No. You get excited for them. You applaud what God's doing in their life, because if God blessed your neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. Does that make sense? All right. So everybody say later for the haters. All right, so being taught faith is what makes the difference. Being taught faith is what makes the difference. The church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference, all right? The church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. Matter of fact, you need it to come out of your mouth. Say, the church I go to and the word I hear makes a difference. See, being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it's the will of God for you to get the victory in every area of your life. Do you know it is possible for two people to come to the same church and get different results? It is possible for two. It's possible for both of them to come and hear the same word and get different results. The Bible says that, watch this, the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. But it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when I come to church, oh, this is good. So when I come to church, watch this, and I hear the word, even then it doesn't automatically take place in my life. I've got to come to church in expectation. Oh, no, I don't just come because it's Sunday. I don't just come because it's Tuesday. I come to church. Hello, somebody. And before I even get to the word, I'm ready for worship. I don't need the worship team to pump me up. What's on the list for this week? You understand what I'm saying? I'm ready to hear, because I'm ready to worship. You got it? When we're praying, I'm ready to pray. When we're up doing our confession, you can't just say, I eat the best, I wear the best, I live in the best, because you ain't going to have none of that best. Because, watch this, because you have to have a conviction on the inside of my heart. So what we're not just saying it out of tradition. You understand what I'm saying? We are being systematic because we understand that faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of my mouth. And when I boldly declare something, it means I have a conviction on the inside. So it doesn't matter how many times we say it on a Sunday and I look up at the screen, I'm boldly declaring because, watch this, because I'm not just saying what's on the screen, I'm saying what's in my heart. So I'm saying I eat the best, I wear the best, I live in the best, I drive the best. And watch this, I might not be there right now, but it's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be not as though they were. Understand that if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I am going to see the word manifest in my life. So I might only have $5 in the bank. I might be in the red, negative $2.56. You got it? But it does not change my confession. So watch this. Because this is the problem. If you don't have a lot of money, this is how you feel. And when you have a lot of money, you feel like this. And then when you don't have a lot of money, this is how you feel. And watch this. I do not allow situations or circumstances to control me and define who I am. I can be negative $55 in the bank. And when that comes up, I'm going to say, Father, I think I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive the best. Because I understand that my situation won't change the word, but the word of God is going to change my situation. You got, and I, watch this. And I ain't trying to be funny, but I don't care if the person next to me is not confessing it. Shame on you. You got it? Because if I say what the word says and say what the word says, I am going to see the word manifest in my life. That's a good place to give God praise. See, I was talking to the Lord the other day, and one reason that I am so fulfilled in life is because I know what I'm called to do. I know what I'm called to do. You understand? I know I'm called to help people live a better life. I know I'm called to teach faith. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times I was on the road this week with my man of God, had an incredible time. And, I get to meet so many people, especially being with him. And then I see a lot of my friends because we go to a lot of AIM churches. And, guys ask me, well, hey, what you doing this? Or, hey, well, you think you're going to get another location and that kind of thing? And it's just small talk, so nothing wrong with it. But I was like, I don't know, we'll just see what the Lord says. Because they're always asking me, Mac, what's next? What's next? You always got something going on down there in New Bern. But see, I don't feel like I have to come up with something. You understand? I said, we just waiting to see what the Lord wants to do next. But until then, I'm just going to keep teaching faith Sunday and Tuesday and Sunday and Tuesday. I told him I'm going to teach faith till the paint comes off the walls. You got it? So I didn't have to, watch this, I didn't have to make something up because I'm already fulfilled in what God has called me to do. Does that make sense? And when you learn to get fulfilled, how do you get fulfilled? Number one, you allow the word of God to fulfill you. Does that make sense? And so, let me back up. Let me take another approach to this conviction of faith. You will never really prosper in life until you make the decision it's the will of God for you to prosper. No, you will never really prosper in life until you make the decision for you that God wants me to prosper. Watch this. And I want to prosper too. So just God wanting you to prosper is not enough. So it's not just God wants me to prosper, but I want to prosper too. Does that make sense? And so, you know, most of you all know my testimony. I said God brought me to an incredible no-need state. And this was long before I ever was a pastor. Long before I ever was a pastor. People say, oh, that's easy for him to say because he's up there. But no. I was making millions before I ever became a pastor. I was sitting on the front row serving my man of God. You got it. You couldn't beat me to church. You understand what I'm saying? I was there before everybody, I was, you know, vacuuming floors, cutting grass, washing cars. Because people say, well, you know, so what were you doing? Was you preaching? No. I was washing my pastor's car. I was washing his truck. I was washing my wife, his wife's car. I was cutting the grass at the church, at my house, at his house. He had another location. I was cutting grass there. And he had a rental property. I was cutting grass there too. But I found a principle in the Word of God that if I would serve my man of God, honor my man of God, and sow into his life, that there's a grace that would come on my life. I learned that where there was honor, there'd be grace. Where there's no honor, I would not walk in grace. So it was so important that I always honored him. Got it? And so, matter of fact, let me give you proof text before I go any further. Let me give you proof text. 3 John 2, they'll put them up on the screen. I quoted a few of them a minute ago. But 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we understand that prosperity is the will of God for our lives. Isn't that right? Okay, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. They'll put it up on the screen. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. That, watch this. That ye, who is ye? That's right. Everybody say ye is me. All right, you're a poet and you don't know it. He says that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. The word rich just means abundantly supplied. People get caught up with all this, you know, that's what I'm talking about. I ain't going out of that church. They're talking about rich. No, the word rich just means abundantly supplied. And it is the will of God for every person in this room to be abundantly supplied. Watch this. It's the will of God for you to be supplied. You got it, abundantly supplied. The question is, have you set your will to be abundantly supplied too? Because the will of God is not automatic. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so Psalms 35 and 27. Psalms 35 and 27. The writer says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. He says, yea, let them say how often? Continually, let the Lord be magnified. Watch this now, which has pleasure and the prosperity of his servants. And so you have to understand that God has pleasure when you prosper. God, watch this. But this is what I believe. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I was explaining to him the importance of believers being prosperous because it's God's will. And there are several reasons that we, you know, should prosper. And one of them, I said, is as a believer, when I prosper, it gives me a platform to talk to unbelievers. You understand what I'm saying? Because if I'm sick, if I'm broke, if my marriage is messed up, and I'm talking about you ought to come to my church, but all you heard me do is complain all week about how hard things are, you say, well, why should I go to your church? Because it seems like they're not helping you. So why would I go there? Isn't that right? But what happens is, watch this, when I'm walking this word out and I'm experiencing the fullness of God in every area of my life, it gives me a platform, you got it, so I can talk to other people about what God has done in my life. And if God did it for me, God will do it for you. You ought to come down to my church. Does that make sense? All right, John 10 and 10. Let me give you a little bit more. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's this talking? This is Jesus talking, right? All right. He says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And in Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. Jesus came that you might have an abundant life. Jesus came that you might have an abundant life. So you have to understand the will of God is not automatic. And I made the comment just a few minutes ago that you will never really prosper in life until you make the decision in your mind that, watch this, that prosperity is the will of God for you. So you have to, God's already made it up in his mind. You got to make it up in yours. All right. Can I give you one more? All right. Ephesians 2:10. Okay. All right. I got to move, but I want to give you all my proof text. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to probably work on that on Tuesday night. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good things. Born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared when? Ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Watch this. Living the good life. Living. Living. It's the will of God that we live the good life, which he prearranged and already made ready for us to live. Remember, he has already declared my end from my beginning. Isn't that right? So he goes all the way to my end and he declares he's going to be a man of God. She's going to be a woman of God. They're going to do great things. They're going to impact lives. So he goes to my end and declares, and then he backs all the way up. And you've got to understand that he makes sure, because he already knows what I have need of, that he's going to put everything I ever need in place. So watch this. So I can become what he's called me to become. Does that make sense? So even though I didn't know that I was going to come here in 2007 and start a church, God knew. And so even though I didn't know, and it was just me and my wife and my brother and his wife, just four adults, God knew he was going to send you and you and you and you. You got it. So you can come, hear the word, and it changed your life. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So, Pastor, what did you do? How did you walk this out? You said that that God brought you to a no-need state. So I want to share a little bit with you on what I did. The first thing I did is I became a student of the word. So I didn't just listen to the word on Sunday when my pastor taught it. You understand what I'm saying? I listened to the word every day, over and over and over and over, right? And I listened to my man of God day and night because I understood that he was the mouthpiece of God, as the case may be, for my life. You got it? And that ultimately the voice of God has to be the loudest voice in my life. But under that, I need to hear my man of God's voice. Does that make sense? Yeah. There was a season in my life, several years, and I'm not knocking this because there's a lot of other great teachers out there, but I wouldn't listen to anybody but my man of God. Because watch this, I had to get what God had for him that he needed to give to me. I needed it in my heart. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So I became a student of the word. Joshua 1:8. Watch what the writer says. He says, this book of the law. Oh, okay, good. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How often, class? Day and night. So I, this is repetition. I got to listen to it over and over and over and over. Isn't that right? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He says, for then, if you listen to it day and night, thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. Who makes their way prosperous? You do. So watch this. So the will of God is not automatic. And even though it's God's will for you to prosper in life, you have a part to play. You got it? And so part of it is listening to this word day and night and day and night and day and night, because I've got to get the word on the inside of me. I was talking to my son last night and I was saying, no, son, we don't say that. He said, Dad, okay, I'm not trying to be funny, but how do I say something without being in doubt, but I'm trying to get something to you? You understand what I'm saying? If I don't feel well or something, you know, he says, you know, somebody's really sick in our family. Shouldn't they tell us that they're really sick? You got it? I said, son, faith comes by hearing. It's released by the words of our mouth. So if I need to get something across, I'm not going to go around. He said, well, can you just say you're sick? I said, I ain't going to use me because I ain't going to be sick. if someone, you got it, what wasn't feeling good, you got it. And he would say, hey, what's going on? They shouldn't walk up to him and say, I'm sick. You got it. At most, I tell them, you know, they might tell you, hey, I'm in a health challenge, but I'm winning because I'm the healed resisting sickness and disease. But I'm not going to let it out of my mouth that I'm sick. I'm not going to let it out of my mouth that the doctor said I got this and I got that and I got that and I got that. No, you got to understand, faith coming by hearing both ways. Because I could say faith come by hearing and hearing from the doctor, because if he tells you you got something and you receive it, now you have it. Does that make sense? All right. So I've got to understand the importance of listening to the word day and night and day and night and day and night. All right. And I've been with my man of God all week. So I come home yesterday and it's getting, I don't know, what time you go to bed? About 10:30, something like that. And so handle your business, put it on vibrate. And not something, okay. And so I didn't go to bed till much later. And I was ironing and those kind of things. So when I'm ironing, I'm not going to waste time and have it just silent. So I've been with my man of God all week. I listened to 2 hours of him last night. So when the lady woke up, she said, what were you doing last night? I said, well, I was ironing. I was listening, you know, to my man of God. And, you know, when I got done ironing, he still had 39 minutes left to teach. And that lesson was good. So I sat down in my dressing room after everything was ironed, and I listened to him for the next 39 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what, watch this. But you have to hear me. Hear the importance of this. But anytime anything arises in my life, a challenge comes, the devil tries to come my way, watch this, because I've got the word of God on the inside of me, that's how I respond. I respond with the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. Ooh, I got to move. Are y'all getting anything out of here? Okay, good, because I'm not even halfway through this lesson, but it's okay. Everybody say, Tuesdays are coming. All right? So I became a student of the word. Next thing I did is I served. You could not beat me to church. Before I was a pastor? No. You couldn't beat me to church. I was there before everybody. Matter of fact, the way I got a key to the church is I came to the church so much early that it was a Sunday night. My pastor was driving up to the church, and I was, of course, already there like I always was. And he gets out and says, well, we might as well give you the key. Well, give you a key because you're the one that's always here before everybody else. And then when he gave me a key, I didn't just go in and sit down on the pew. You got it. I went in and I started seeing, is there anything I could do? I checked the bathrooms, make sure the bathrooms were clean. You know, where people first walk in, you know, there was grass, so I might vacuum that. You got it. I'm doing anything I can to serve because I understand the importance of serving. And so Ephesians 6:6 really brings it home. And I'm not, watch this. You got to get this. I'm not serving to be seen. So when my man of God got there, I didn't say, hey, Pastor, you doing all right? He said, yeah, how you doing, Mac? Oh, I'm doing good. I've already vacuumed and I checked the bathrooms. And no, because I'm not serving to be seen, because when I'm serving, I am being seen. Oh, you got it. I'm not serving to be seen by somebody in the natural. But when I'm serving, the one that really matters already sees and he already knows my heart. You got it. That's why the writer says here in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From where? Okay, one more time. From where? So you mean to tell me that when I serve, I've got to serve from the heart? That when I do anything I do, I have to have the right motive behind why I do what I do. I understand the principle of serving. I understand the principle of sacrifice. Watch this now. So if I do something and no one says, you did a good job, thank you, I appreciate you. And not that people shouldn't, please understand. But if nobody does, I'm okay. Because like I said earlier, I'm fulfilled in what God has called me to do. And at that time, he called me to be there early, to open the door, to vacuum, to check. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. But as I'm serving, I'm working on something. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's keep reading. He says, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. As unto the Lord and not to men. As unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. But let's go with this back to knowing with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. And so... I talked to my man of God last Saturday. He asked me, he said, would it be really expensive? What's your Monday like? He said, would it be too expensive for you to get a flight and fly down here and do a special with me for Love City? you know, depending on how much it costs. I said, it wouldn't be too much for you, because that's my man of God. And so if he wants me to come, it ain't no problem. I'm going to go. Does that make sense? Okay, so we did 7 cities in 7 days. Now, some of the cities I'm counting are cities I had to just get to get to him. Now, I'm trying to show you something. All right? Because I'm trying to show you that I did it from my heart. I didn't need anything from anybody. So I left here on Sunday after 2 services and an I Connect and went to Raleigh. That's 1 city. I had to fly to Houston. That's 2 cities. You got it? We flew to Jacksonville, Florida. That's 3 cities. When we got done with Jacksonville, Florida, we flew to Birmingham, Alabama. That's 4 cities. When we got done with Birmingham, Alabama, we flew to Mobile, Alabama. That's 5 cities. When we got done with Mobile, Alabama, we flew to Charleston, South Carolina. Another city in a different state. You got it? And then when I got done, that's 6, right? Yeah. And then when we got to Charleston, it was about, it was, I don't know, 1:15, 1:30. Hotel had messed his room up and everything. So I'm doing everything I can, help make all that right. I'm doing the luggage. You understand? You know, because it's important for you to understand that even though you're a man of God, you got it, as senior pastor, of incredible church in New Bern, I still have not forgotten the principle of serving. So I left there and went to Charlotte, 7, and back to New Bern. Yeah. So what were you doing the whole week? Because most of the time when you hear me go, I'm always teaching somewhere. No, what was I doing? Well, let me see. When it was time to leave, I helped load up all the stuff on the jet. You got it? His luggage, my luggage, product. When you got there, I got everything off. There's a couple guys from the churches that helped me do everything we do so we can go and we can make sure that the faith tour is good and everything goes the right way. I'm carrying my man of God's bags. I'm opening doors. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that he's good. So all he has to do, you understand what I'm saying? All he has to do when he gets in there is he just got to teach the word. But watch this. And when we're in the green room, I'm standing out the way. You got it? And he says, Mac, you need to just, you know, come sit down. Because watch this, because it ain't about me. Because I'm serving, because I have not forgotten the principle. Watch this, that serving got me to where I am today. Okay. All right. That's my time, huh? That's my time. You sure? Positive? Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. All right, wrap it up. We're going to pick it up on Tuesday night. Y'all going to come to church on Tuesday night, right? Okay, all right, we're going to pick it up on Tuesday night. So I served. Oh. Can I show you something real quick? Hold on, let me show them something real quick, Courtney. I know I did tell you we're going to close, but I'm going to close in a minute. No, I want to show you. Go to James 5:4. I want to show you something because I hear you. Pastor, what about when you're doing the right things and it seemed like it hadn't showed up yet? I hear you. I got you. I'm serving. I'm sowing. I'm sacrificing. And it seems that the thing I'm believing for has not showed up yet. See, you must understand that God is not magical, but he is sovereign. Everything about faith is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. Isn't that right? And so that's why the Bible says, in patience, possess ye your soul. If you're going to get the goal watch in life, you're going to have to learn how to go through the process. Isn't that right? Okay. And so sometimes it can be satanic influence. Sometimes it can just be mean people. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it just can, you know, be, you know, just things like this. But watch what James 5:4 says. Now I need you to look. I'm going to close after this. We're going to close with this. So I need you to stay with him. Everybody say, stay with him. Stay with him. No, matter of fact, look at your neighbor. Check your neighbor out. Make sure that your neighbor is paying attention. Make sure your neighbor is looking at pastor. You got it. Make sure that because you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Anybody ever been on a job you felt they wasn't doing you right? You don't want to miss this. You got it. You don't want to miss this. All right. James 5:4. Look. Do what? He says the wages. This is James is declaring judgment is about to fall. He says the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. He says the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of who? The Lord Almighty, right? Okay, so James is declaring judgment that is about to fall. And he says, I want you to know that the cries of the money that is owed to the workers is crying out to the Lord. The stuff that belongs. Okay, so let me help you. So in principle, everything that God has promised you that you don't have in your hands that belongs right now is in the spirit realm and it's crying out because it belongs to you. Okay, you got to get this. You got to get this. Let's do some quick teaching on spirit realm. Probably Tuesday night, I'll break it down a little bit more. But remember Colossians 1:16, I told you there's an invisible world and a visible world. There's a natural world. There's a spiritual world, right? So there's two worlds or two realms. Everybody say two worlds or two realms. You remember when I've taken you before to Ephesians 1:3? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we understand that there's not just this natural world, this physical world, but there's also a heavenly world or a heavenly realm. Are y'all following me? Okay, check your neighbor. Make sure they're still with you, all right? See, God has already made everything you will ever need, and it's in the spirit realm. So the moment that I inform God of what I need, watch this now, the moment I pray to God is not the moment that God finds out what I need, because he already knows what I have need of. Remember, because we just said, because he declares my end from my beginning. Okay, calm down. Because he declares my end from my beginning, right? Once I lay hold to the promise by faith, it's mine. All right? So the scripture says that there are things in the spirit realm that belong to me and that they're crying out to God. Put it back up on the screen. Just leave it up there the whole time. All right. Now, in the spirit realm, you got to understand there's things like sound. There's things like smell. And there's even things like feeling in the spirit realm. See, we are once we gave our lives to Christ, our spirit man was regenerated. It was born anew. We became alive to Christ. And now not only do we have access to this world, but we also have access to the spirit realm. Are y'all getting this? All right. Every once in a while, our spirit can get a glimpse of what's going on in the spirit realm. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That is why Elijah says, I hear the sound of the abundance. It wasn't raining in the natural. But the word of the Lord came, oh, you got to get this, and said that rain will not come until they repent. They repented, and now the rain that is in the spirit realm says we are not supposed to be over here because they repented. We're supposed to be over there. Oh, my God. What does this mean for you? That there are some things in the spirit realm that belong to you. You got it. And they're crying out in the spirit realm saying, we don't belong over here. We belong over there. Okay. All right. But we got to read the rest of this. We got to read the rest of it. It says, the wages you failed to pay, the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. Watch this. So that's what was promised to you, right? But he said, there's another cry. Everybody said, there's another cry. Are y'all getting this? He said, the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. So he said, there's also another cry, but the harvester, that's you. All right. And now, but this cry is not a pitiful cry. This cry is a declaration of faith kind of a cry. This cry is a cry that understands that faith is released by the words of my mouth. This type of cry is a cry that understands that nothing moves until I speak. But if I say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, that it's got to go. This is the cry that says, I understand that we call those things that be not as though they were. This is a cry that understands that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but it doesn't stop there, but by the word of my testimony. So I got to get this. So I understand that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has already done his part. So the blood of the Lamb has already done his part. The next part I need is to have the word of my testimony. So the Bible, I'm getting excited. So the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. So my question is, there are some things in the spirit realm that are crying out that belong to you, but what are you crying out to the Lord about? Can I break it down for you? Your miracle is in your mouth. Somebody say, my miracle is in my mouth. No, one more time. My miracle is in my mouth. All right. Can I give you some proof text? I know we got to go, but can I give you some proof text real quick? Woman with the issue of blood. She said out of her mouth, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Her miracle was in her mouth. Oh, my God, my God, my blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town. And he starts saying, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd's like, you better shut up, boy. You better be quiet. He said, son of David, have mercy on me. They said, no, you better be quiet. You better be quiet. See, they weren't blind. He said, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus notices, says, bring him to me. And he's healed. Why? Because his miracle was in his mouth. Everybody say, your miracle's in your mouth. Can I get you another one? Can I get another one? Real quick. The centurion says, I don't need you to come to me. He don't got to come to you. If you will speak the word only, my servant, not might be, not maybe, but my servant shall be healed. It's all right. Can I give you another one? All right. Let me give you this is our greatest example. God the Father. So what happens is he moves upon the face of the deep and it's dark. You got it. And it's void. He does not allow what he sees to determine what he says. Too many times in our life, when things are not working the way we want them to, we allow what is going on to cause a negative confession to come out of our mouth, canceling what God wanted to do for us. Jesus. And I'm teaching. Now, you don't understand. When a negative situation happens, I can't allow what I see to determine what I say. Because if something negative comes out of my mouth, instead of going forward in God, I start moving backwards. You need to hear this next part. So what do I do when that happens, Pastor? When you realize you repent and you ask God to forgive you for the negative things that have been coming out of your mouth. Are you hearing this, preacher? And you get your focus back. You understand what I'm saying? So watch this. So God never allowed what he saw to determine what he said. He said, okay, no problem. He says, let there be light. And light showed up. Everybody say it gets better. So what happens is God takes his ability and he puts it in man. If you notice in the beginning, he was saying, let there be, and let there be, and it was, and let there be. But when it got to the day he made man, he stopped talking. He said, okay, now you talk, and whatever you say, it's going to be so. You got to understand that your miracle is in your mouth, Jesus. You have the power to create your world with your confession. Okay, all right. I got to be done. Y'all sit down. I don't even need a Courtney because I got to close like this. All right. Because if you play, they're going to want me to keep preaching. I know how they is. Story is told. I borrowed this from my man of God. Story is told of a man who raced champion dogs. He raced. That's what he did. And he had the best dogs around. And if you would ever go to his compound, he had incredible kennels for his champion dogs. And then he also had other kennels, and the other kennels were for the dogs that had been retired. They were good at one point, you got it, but because of injuries, because they got old and those kind of things, he put them over in another kennel. Are y'all following me? And so what happened one day was, what happened one day, everybody said, the church you go to, and the word you hear, it really does make a difference. Now just stare at your neighbor. Just like look at him. Just stare at him. It really does make a difference. Yeah, okay, that's good. Y'all did it. All right. So watch this. Something happened where there had to be some repairs done to the kennel, to the dogs that were retired, that had some ailments and those kind of things, and they needed to come and do some repairs. So the gentleman took the dogs that had been retired, he took the dogs that had some ailments, and he put them in the kennel with the champion dog that he'd been using on a regular basis. And he noticed that over the days and over the time that they were repairing the other
the kennel, when he would let all the dogs out just to kind of play and you know, just kind of have a good time, he noticed that the dogs that were retired and the dogs that had ailments and the dogs that were all messed up, he said they started acting a little bit differently. He said, I noticed that they were starting to run like the champion dogs, and they were starting to jump high like the champion dogs. And he said, something happened because now all of a sudden that they thought they were just like the champion dogs, and they started doing the same things that the champion dogs did. He said, I guess it was because when I took them out of that environment and I put them in that environment, something changed. And when you come into an environment like this, an environment of faith, and you start getting around faith people that know how to call those things that be not as though they were. You start getting around faith people that say, no, I know I don't have a car right now, but I'm believing for that BMW, and I'm calling it in. I know people don't believe in that kind of stuff, but I know what the Word of God says. And one day, you got it? And so he says he put them in that environment, and it changed everything. When you get in an environment of faith like this, it changes everything. When you get in an environment of faith like this, all bets are off. When you get in an environment of faith, watch it, it empowers you to tell you that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. When you get in an environment like this, you start thinking you can do stuff that you couldn't do before. And then when you get into an environment like this, you find out that they lied to you because you really can do what you thought you can do. Everybody say, the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. I'm way out of time. Give the Lord a big hand, praise.